Good evening, everybody. I'm Mark.
And I'm Britton.
And today we're going to talk about a movie.
an event. Not an event as in a, like, a Lollapalooza. I mean an event as in a star collapsing.
The sleep experiment. All right, so let's get started. Good luck, Britton.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you are the most qualified to talk about this movie.
I guess of the two of us, I am the experienced person when it comes to the backstory of this. So the sleep experiment looks to be a film version of a creepypasta. When I read it, it was called the Russian Sleep Experiment, where they put a bunch of prisoners in a chamber filled with a gas that'll prevent them from sleeping and observe the results.
Which is interesting because even though this is, according to the trivia, is based off of that creepypasta, this wasn't Russian.
No, this was English.
Yeah, it was decidedly not Russian. But anyway, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so yeah, that's kind of one of the, that's one big difference between the movie and the creepypasta is that this seems to be taking place
not
in England.
Russian.
Yeah, not Russian. Maybe English. Maybe Ireland. There was one Irish gentleman.
Assuming he was Irish.
He was either Irish or he burnt his tongue on hot pizza.
He was either Irish or he was Opie from Family Guy.
Not to belittle the Irish, but this guy, this guy had had probably the thickest Irish. I don't think he was really Irish.
I don't think so. Anyone in here had a real accent,
yeah.
Especially because one of the aspects of this movie was a doctor. I think his name was Christopher or something.
Yeah,
and he. He was the one running the experiment, and they're, you know, interviewing him throughout most of the movie, these detectives,
yeah.
And they're like, "Why did everything go wrong?" And, and...
Shut up. I don't know, Phil that, Collins,
that was,
why.
That was good, that was good. And, this guy, you know, was like, "Oh, I didn't expect it to happen," but he was British for, I think, a lot of the movie, or at least... We said that he was doing a British accent.
Like that, he did phase through several accents in this movie.
At the very end, it turns out that he did the experiment, which we know he did.
Yeah.
Intentionally, which we know he did.
Yeah.
It was a big reveal. He's the bad guy, and he had a German accent now.
Yeah. It was really not. It was not the biggest surprise I ever had in a movie.
Like, wait a minute! You're telling me that the doctor who ran the experiment was not a good person?
Yeah.
An experiment which was, and the experiment was, let's take five people in prison.
Several of which have severe mental problems, like, in terms of, like, psychopathy.
Like, let's take five, we'll just say, violent criminals.
Yeah, yeah.
Put them in a room together where they can't sleep for 30 days and see what happens. And it turns out that this didn't go the way they expected.
For some reason, it turned out the murderers murdered each other.
It's, excuse me, it's funny because during one part of this movie, the evil Dr. Christopher says, "It was then that we realized that we made a mistake." And there's an actual line that was in the movie. I remember thinking, like, of the line from Futurama where he says, "It was only after they completed Project Satan that they realized they made a mistake."
It kind of reminds me of, I think it was the opening episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, which it probably has one of my favorite lines ever shouted by a scientist. Like when an experiment runs amok, which was, "What has science done?" "What has science done?"
Yeah, that's pretty much what this is.
Yeah, that's what this movie is. It's just a scientist being interviewed and then screaming to the heavens, "What has science done?" And then admitting he's a murderer.
So let's go back and just talk briefly, bit by bit, a little bit more about this movie, because you gave a very good intro where it was like, all right, this is a creepypasta about people who can't sleep for 30 days.
Yeah.
And you're probably thinking at home, well, surely there's more to the movie than just that, right?
You would hope so, especially if you read the creepypasta, because the creepypasta gets into, like, maybe potential supernatural elements, and it's legitimately creepy. This is just... five assholes stuck in a room murdering each other.
And the funny thing is, they're not doing... I wish it was them murdering each other, because a lot of it was just them walling away the time.
Well,
it was
them
puttering around the movie.
Like, you had the Irish, the quote-unquote Irishman, which I question whether or not he's Irish. If he was Irish, he was punching it up a bit.
You know, now I think about it, I don't even know what, like, they say everyone died at the end of this experiment, but I don't, like, I remember, all right, so there was five guys, we're gonna name them all. There's, there's
Larry, Moe, Groucho, Harpo.
Well, there's Larry, there's Moe, Curly, Curly Joe, and,
absolutely not.
And Joe Besser. Joe Besser.
So hard.
You laugh, but I like, notice that Shemp's not in this.
I like Shemp better than the Joe and Joe Besser.
We're going to have a quick, we're going to get back to the movie. Trust me, folks. But I'm going to stand on my statement that I like Joe Besser more than I like Shemp.
That's more the mean part of you that likes to see
sadist.
People hurt.
Because he is the only one in the Three Stooges lore who actively doesn't want to get hit
and thus deserves it more,
and it's funny, it's because it's a dynamic that they don't do a lot of. Like, Curly knows he's gonna get hit, Larry know he's gonna get hit, Curly Joe knows he's gonna get hit, Shemp knows what's gonna happen to him, but Joe, he's like, oh, don't hit me so hard, and then he hit him, and it's funny because he's cowering. Okay,
maybe I think I might need to edit out this this portion.
No, it's just a different dynamic to see someone who is like
reluctant to be punched.
Well, Curly, they don't get punched. Yeah. Curly and Shemp and Larry and Moe, like, they're troopers. They will stand and they will take it, and like, it doesn't even faze them. It doesn't bother them. Uh-huh. This is the only time that one of the Three Stooges members actively tries to avoid being abused.
Yeah, that's not fun.
It's funny. It's
not fun. I want to see someone get smacked, not someone whine about being smacked.
I like Joe Besser. I think he's funny because even though he does whine, like, he takes it like a champ.
Say that again.
Originally, they tried pulling their punches originally because you gotta think, it was four guys on the Vaudeville Silkert, and three of them were brothers, and one of them was a friend that they've known their whole life.
Yeah.
And then they're adding another guy, and they're like, well, I hope you can take a hit as well as my brothers can.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we've been doing this for 30 years, but like, hopefully you know how to take a walloping like we have been for...
Two of us died from it. So, you ready to get hit? And I enjoy it because, like, towards the end, like, he's trying to actively avoid it, but he is such a... I like seeing a guy be a wimp, you know, as long as it's funny.
Uh-huh.
Because a regular wimp isn't funny. Like me, I'm not funny. Like, if I was gonna get slapped by a 90-year-old Larry, I'd be like, I don't know, guys. Even though you're at advanced age, I still don't want to get hit. Like, you guys probably know. Like, your hands are calloused.
Like, it's like being smacked by a skeleton.
It's like being smacked by a catcher's mitt. But, have you ever gotten, like, you ever gotten just a little rap from your grandparents? They know how to deal their, you know, how to deal force out. They're physics experts. So, 90-year-old Stooges, they know the pressure points. And Joe... He's kind of cowardly, like courage.
Well, yeah.
And there's a funny wimpiness to him that I really do think is intriguing. Like, Curly Joe, not funny. I didn't give him a chance. Maybe I should give Curly Joe DeRita a chance.
I always thought he was just... I thought he was too bland. He didn't really do anything.
I know somebody whose favorite was Shemp. They were like, they're a young kid, about 11 years old now, maybe even 12, and they were like, oh, my favorite episodes are on the Shemp, I don't like the Curly episodes, and I'm like, your parents, I don't think they're doing...
Yeah, your parents raised you wrong.
that's not cool, guy.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, Shemp is number two in my book. I like Shemp just below Curly.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, because he did have a lot of energy. He did add a lot of energy to the to a lot of the scenes he was in, and same with Curly. Joe Besser, I thought he was a little bit subdued, Curly Joe. I thought was a little bit subdued, and Joe Besser was annoying as shit.
I think I've watched every Joe Besser Stooge episode, and I like them. I think they're great. I have not seen, I think, any of the Curly Joe, except for the movies, like the Three Stooges Go to Mars or something.
Or the Three Stooges Meet Hercules.
Yeah. Or the Three Stooges Go to Prison or whatever, go to jail.
Or the Three Stooges Go to Camp.
Or Three Stooges Ride Again.
Yeah, or Three Stooges Scared Stupid.
Or Three Stooges Knuckle Up.
Okay.
That was Three Ninjas.
Okay.
they knuckle up all right. That's when they start bringing the fists into things. Oh. Not so hard.
No.
That's not bad. Bad, Joe.
I was doing
Larry, right?
I was trying to do Larry.
Yeah, that was good.
No, it wasn't.
I like, going back to what you said, it goes, obviously the rest of the Stooges are, you know, it's a team thing, but number threes, it goes Curly, Joe, Shemp, then Curly Joe. Just so everyone knows. You have Joe at the bottom, I know.
Yeah, Joe Besser.
You're Curly Shemp, Curly Joe, and...
One thing I do want to kind of discuss, I think Larry... often he's an underappreciated character.
I agree.
I think he is a lot of the times just a one-liner guy that's just there to get smacked. And I think he's underappreciated for the time that he does fill in between big gags.
Yeah, I do like Larry because he's I've talked about this before. In a general sense, but he is a utility player.
Absolutely.
Like, he can do whatever you need, and we're gonna get back to the movie soon.
Yeah, in a moment.
But let's take the plumbing episode, probably one of their most famous episodes.
Yeah, yep.
Even though I love the interactions between Curly and Moe more than anything in that episode, there is still something to be said about the in-betweens where Larry's like, trying to find the source of the water main, and keeps on like and digs underground, and you know, pops his head up from the dirt. He's like, I'll find this one way or another. Like, you know, even though the Curly and Moe stuff that they're doing is world, like almost worlds funnier.
Yeah,
Larry has his own certain rhythm and comedy to him that is great. And then when they're together, all together, it's the best.
And I would say. Even Larry has a more subdued type personality, but for some reason it just works a lot better for him. Like,
oh, not so hard, Mo.
Ow, Mo. Not the cattle prod, Mo.
Well, I think the reason is because they were lifelong friends, and you know, they had a lot better timing together and everything like that. But when I watched the Joe Besser episodes, when I see that bull sticking a horn up his upper thigh, oh boy, does it make me laugh every time.
I might have to rewatch them.
It's funny, like, we have, we usually have similar opinions on a lot of things. This is, like, one of our few chasms that we have, which is, no, Curly Joe, Joe Besser is funny, damn it. I like Joe Besser.
Like, this is... a Hatfield and McCoy level of pettiness between,
I want you to know that this has been this has been a debate brewing, I think, since at least 2016.
At the very least.
And so, like, because I think that was the first time I started watching the first time I saw a Joe Besser episode, and I made the mistake of giggling, and that just brought the ire from everyone else in the room.
Yeah,
what are you laughing at?
Did I really address you like Batman?
It was something like that. It was like, what are you laughing at? Because I think you were in the corner, you were in your chair, and you had your arms crossed like you always do when you watch things that you don't want to like. And, like, I could see you, like, I'm not gonna crack, you know, like keeping your bearing.
Yeah.
And when I made my moment of weakness by giggling, it was scandalous to you. Like, how dare you? I'm holding it together, you fool.
I think it was a case where you made a noise and then I found an outlet for my rage. And it was just unfortunate that you were the first thing to make the noise.
I think it was a maybe 10 minutes before, I made a joke of like, you know, Britain, you give a different meaning to the term gas giant, and and then that was that, and then like second, first, you were just waiting, you're like, first thing he does out of ordinary, I'm gonna lay into this guy. And then you're like, yeah, you want to watch some Three Stooges with Joe I chose it, of course I did.
Of course he did.
Who else would?
Why would I choose a Joe Besser episode?
Britain would never choose a Joe Besser. So you were fuming from the man, yeah, from the tall joke, and then you had an extra dose of awful.
Yeah, it was just salt in the wounds at that point.
And you're like, first chance I get, I'm and then I just, I'm not so hard. What the fuck are you laughing at, you simpleton?
You short-sighted rube.
You know, some women like tall men.
It's a very popular height, I'll have you know.
I get swiped right on Tinder all the time, thank you very much.
Usually by sex offenders, but...
But you know what? They like tall people, too.
You know what? They need love as well.
Guess who they're not swiping right? You! All right. I think we've got that out of our system. But before we do, what do you think, folks? I know this is a losing argument. Yeah. I know I'm wrong in this. Yeah. I want you to understand that.
Yeah, you are.
I know that I'm not in the right, but I think he's funny. What do you think? Do you think Joe Besser's funny? Do you think he's funnier than Curly, maybe?
No. No, what's wrong with you?
Is Joe Besser your number two out there, folks, like it is for me?
He's number two, all right.
Yeah, like Shemp.
No, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Worm food now. But anyway, one thing I do like about Shemp is, yeah, I do like his...
Yeah, he's good like
that's
that.
That's funny. That is not as funny as Joe's catchphrase of, ow! But, you know, but it's still funny. All right, so the sleep experiment.
All right. Getting back... So where did we leave off? Just kind of what happened?
I don't even remember, folks, where did we leave off? Where do, like...
Kind of describing, I think, the German guy.
Yeah, the evil German guy.
Yeah. So pretty much, to sum up what happened in the, in the movie, pretty much, what are you laughing at? What are you cackling at? You so, absolute loon.
I'm trying not to laugh. I'm over here just chuckling. I'm thinking of the, you know, Curly or the Joe's catchphrase of, ow! I'm sorry, go ahead.
That was fine. But it's like pretty much the most of the movie is them sitting around bored, much like we were. And then the only really large arc that happens is there's one gentleman who went to jail, supposedly went to jail for something he didn't do, and and his daughter had gotten murdered, and maybe he assaulted or murdered someone who was he thought,
or maybe he murdered her,
something like that. He might have, it was implied that he might have buried it deep in his own mind.
Yeah, because there's a like one quick flash of him, like, you know, and his daughter with blood on her, and then it was that was just it. It could have just been him finding her or something like that, but there's still another aspect of, I remember we're trying to name the prisoners, that's what happened.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So we had this guy who was a, we'll call him Norman Bates, because was very obsessed with his mother, and that every time someone talked shit about his dear old mom, he would kill them.
Yeah, yep.
Then we have Curly Joe Derita. He's the guy whose daughter was murdered. May have been him. He was this big, you know, beefy, bald guy.
Like he talked a lot like what's his face from The Transporter.
Oh, I know what you mean.
What's
Jason
his,
Statham?
Jason Statham. Like he had kind of like that. That London-y Cockney accent. Yeah.
He looked like Tor Johnson.
Yeah.
From from Outer Space.
Don't fuck out to bed.
So we have Tor. So that's going to be him. It's not going to be Curly Joe. So we have... All right. So now we have Norman Bates. We have Tor Johnson. We have Moly Moly.
Moly Moly.
It was one of the guys who was in there who was... pretty much paid by the prison, or asked by the prison, doing experiments at the, hey, we're gonna give you a fact sheet of all the other prisoners. We're going to take you out under the guise of asthma. We're going to let you get some sleep and some adrenaline. And basically, you're just going to be a keep an eye on them control group.
Yeah, and we kind of theorized that he was planted there to start a mistrust amongst the other prisoners, which lo and behold, oh, then we have
Gilligan.
I guess he kind of looked not just Gilligan, but post-traumatic Gilligan, where he'd just kind of whimper in the corner.
Bob Devernow Gilligan. Dead? Yeah, basically.
And yeah, he would either kind of write in his book or read a book, you know, while looking sad or scared.
He was bullied or something.
Yeah, and then sometimes he would talk to the mirror and or the person behind the mirror in hushed tones. Pretty much this guy was a nuisance.
Very quiet to himself, but still kind of annoying.
Yeah.
And then we have the last person, who was the Irish guy.
Yeah, the Irish guy. Didn't really, like...
he had a big speech towards the middle, and then... I don't even know what happened to him.
I think I only got 20% of that speech, too.
Because he was probably faking an Irish accent.
I don't think anyone's that Irish.
Go ahead.
Like, at least maybe he might have been punching it up a bit.
And so these people are all in this room together, and Tor Johnson, you know, his daughter did, and Norman Bates was like, I killed your daughter, maybe.
He kind of said that to get under his skin,
to get him to attack him.
Because they were in the middle of an argument.
And that kind of highlights a really big part of the movie, which I think makes it a bad movie. Because not only is it boring, a lot of times people are sitting around and not doing anything. I can't even it's not like they're having dialogue heavy conversations either, or really getting to know each other. A lot of times they're just walking around reading, and that's not fun while public domain music plays.
Yeah, it really was if they weren't just sitting around reading or milling about trying to pass the time, they were delivering this long-winded monologue, to which I think the doctor had the longest winded
at the end.
The end, where he delivered it like
Robitussin.
He delivered it like Henry Kissinger towards the end, where it was just. So then I brought you over.
You were going way too fast for that man.
Oh yeah. So I brought you to this experiment. And then I gave you the experiment.
It's like he was trying to make every word like last forever. Again, probably trying to make that 85-minute runtime.
Boy, were they trying.
But it was like the experiment. All right, that's a little bit wasn't that bad.
It's exaggerated, but not too much.
It's an exaggeration, sure, but that's almost what it was, and I don't recommend watching this just to see that.
Imagine Snape giving a monologue. That's the speed you would expect, I would say, coming from this guy.
I can get behind that. Good use of Harry Potter, by the way. You are learning.
Shut up.
Shut up. No, I'm not.
No, I hate it. I hate magic.
One of the things that also makes this a bad movie is, every time things looked like they were starting to go pretty well, things were starting to like escalate, like, oh, okay, they're gonna get into it. Like the music would swell, and we couldn't hear anything because the music was too loud. It had some fucking awful sound editing.
But not the worst, but pretty bad.
There were times where, like, the music was drowning out people's monologues.
Yeah.
But it would like reach a fever pitch where these two people was like, oh shit, things are about to go on now. Like, I found out that you've been lying, you've been planted here this whole time. Yeah.
And then it fades to black.
Scene over. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, a lot of the scenes would just end without conclusion.
And it was almost like, I had a teacher in high school who would, like, if you ended your paper without any kind of resolution or whatever, she would draw like a little cliff with her falling off it, which would kind of be like,
it's pretty funny.
Yeah, and that is every scene of this movie. Well, not every scene, that's a lie, but 90% of the scenes of this movie would kind of do that. Like, oh, this psycho killer found out that one of the person who's been coming in and out has like dossiers full of them.
Yeah, that he might be a plant.
Yeah, and what does he do? He just reads it and fade to black.
He makes a he makes a conniving evil man face. He does a sinister smile and it fades to black without resolution.
And then that's it. That's your lot.
Yep. He did confront the guy,
like,
does he?
Yeah, because Tor Johnson comes over to him. This is Norman who found his book.
Yeah.
He's like, I think you killed my daughter now. And he's like, oh, really? Because this guy's a plant.
Yeah, he doesn't make a very good argument.
Yeah, and it was like, okay, well, yeah, I still think you killed my daughter.
Yeah, but he didn't kill my daughter. And you might have.
And it's funny because all that plant stuff just goes away.
Yeah.
We don't get a resolution of that either.
Like no one, like, right after, as soon as he bashes the guy's head in with the toilet seat, everything unravels. All the stuff that was built, spoiler alert.
Tor Johnson smashes Norman Bates.
Yeah, with the toilet seat. And, from there, everything that was built up about these characters is just kind of tossed out the window.
Yeah.
Because, I think he might have only murdered, one guy, because everyone else was either walking around in their underwear or just standing in the corner.
So after that happens, they decide to, like, all right, well, I guess this is done. We gotta get our guy out of there.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, let's pump the room full of
nitrous oxide, which I think would only get them high.
Yeah, and then that's probably what happened. They were all feral. And they're like, then we'll come in, we'll get our plant, and
it's like that woman who had a pet chimpanzee and gave it Adderall.
Yeah, and so there's some faces getting torn off.
Yeah.
And so that's what happens. They come in to get the guy, and then they decide, all right, well, I guess we're feral now, and they just start eating people.
Yeah.
And it's probably the only scene of the movie that's interesting. It's like, all right, good. They're getting up. Oh, nope, they're just being wheeled away now. They lost.
Oh, he's in bandages.
Oh, now he's dead.
Yeah, now that I think about it, we don't really get... we're not really told what happens to the other characters. They're writhing. They're all dead?
Yeah, he said that he shot them all. Oh. Or that they all died one by one.
All right, so he probably shot them all. Because, you know, they were, like, only one guy, I think, had died in there.
Yeah, it was only Norman Bates.
Yeah, so I guess, the doctor killed them from there. So one thing I want to talk about is how this compares to the creepypasta.
Okay, good. I wanted to talk about that.
So, you're going to have to give me a little bit of leeway, because it's been a while since I read it, and I might not be 100% accurate.
Okay.
But, so, I think this, the Russian sleeping experiment, creepypasta, takes place in the Soviet Union during their experiment days. You know, you've seen, like, those Soviet videos where, like, one of the videos they showed was like a dog's head being sewn onto another dog and it's still alive. Like, just these weird experiments the Soviet Union would do. So it's not entirely unusual, actually.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, they're
I am beside myself. That's insane.
Yeah, it is. Like, there was a, like, it's because of, questionably ethical experiments like this that we have organ transplants and stuff like that. But yeah, a Russian scientist took a dog's head and attached it to another dog's circulatory system and on his shoulder.
Oh,
and there
okay.
were these two dogs just sharing a body. Kind of like that movie
we
watched.
Yeah, the thing with two heads.
Yeah, the thing with two heads.
I thought you were going to say that they put it on a person's head and the...
Oh, no.
And I was like, that is some crazy, that's like some Altered Beast level shit right there.
Yeah. But it, you know, that's kind of the context of the story,
okay,
where it was this kind of
morally questionable
Soviet era science experiment. So the concept is kind of the same. I don't remember if they were prisoners or not, but I kind of think they were. And most of the creepypasta actually takes place outside of the outside of the chamber. Like, they would, you know, it starts off, that, you know, they're kind of ramping up and getting more erratic.
Yeah.
They start seeing hallucinations, and they start slowly going crazy until, the thing that kind of happens similarly, in this movie where, they block out the screens, they can't see what's going on inside, until, they do eventually break in, and it's Bedlam. It's kind of like Event Horizon.
Okay. And so that was the creepypasta version.
Kind of. It does go further from there. Like, I think there was only one survivor, and like he had like all of his, like he had his eyes, his tongue, his ear, like his ears, like he couldn't see or hear or anything like that, but like he made like some kind of creepy statement that because he experienced what he experienced, he knows that there is no life after death or something creepy like that.
Mm-hmm. I guess the big question now is, how would we fare in this Russian sleep experiment? Or I guess this regular Oxford sleep experiment.
this is the Oxford sleep experiment. Well, let me put it this way. Is it just you and I in this chamber slowly going insane, or is it you and I and three other prisoners?
It's you and I and the five people in this movie.
Okay. I think by the end of it, we would be wearing their skin.
I think that, because they have cards, and early on they're playing cards with each other. I think I would, for a week, I would be like, let's play some Pinochle, let's play some cards, guys, come on.
You and your old lady games.
I know, let's play some Euchre, come on. you guys know how to play Canasta? I'll do that. And then after that, I think once the isolation to boredom starts setting in, it would just be like, well, what can I do to entertain myself? And then that's when it'd be like, psst, hey, Tor.
Yeah.
He killed your daughter, you know.
He did.
Yeah, remember when he was talking about that yellow backpack? Spoiler
alert. Oh, no.
Yeah, didn't you buy her a yellow backpack?
Maybe.
Are you sure?
No.
Are you sure it wasn't a yellow backpack?
I'm not.
Yeah, you did. You bought her a yellow backpack.
I did?
You did, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he killed her.
I'm gonna get him.
Yeah, but first, you see that guy over there?
Uh-huh.
That tall one?
Yeah.
He also killed your daughter. It was like a two thing that they did, you know?
He did?
He did, you know? Look at his face. See him?
Yeah.
I'm gonna wave. If he waves back, that means he's the killer. He's a killer. He's probably a killer.
So you would try and get me murdered?
No, I just want to fuck with people.
Your murder is incidental.
Yeah, like he's gonna murder somebody. I just want it to be a game now.
I just want to make sure it's not me.
Yeah. This experiment's gonna stop one way or another.
Well, I'm not
taking another dump in front of six people again. I'll tell you that much.
I'm getting tired of them bringing up chairs and watching.
Guys, just please look the other way for a few minutes.
Look, there's nothing else to watch.
That's fair. Oh, hey, wait a minute. We've only had bread and meat in here. But look at this.
Oh.
A peanut? What? You're a plant. All right, yep, me and Britton are both plants. You got us. No, I'm not.
I'm not a I actually killed someone.
Yeah, Britton and I were plants. We were paid like a lot of money. And
I wasn't paid anything.
And you guys will never get to see your families again. That's what they told us.
I'm here on parole.
Unless Britton, you know, if Britton walks out that door, it's not going to end up well for you.
Like, I'm on shaky ground as it is with the judge.
Like, somehow, I don't know how, but I want to imagine that by day 30, when they come into that room, all seven of us are arranged in a totem pole position.
Okay. Yeah, that kind of, that's different than what I thought.
Like, I mean, we bonded, and now we're just doing totem pole stuff together.
I imagined it was something similar, but I imagined we were all in a masquerade ball. Not just any masquerade ball, but it's kind of like the masquerade ball in the labyrinth.
Okay. Hey.
Like, it's kind of this dreamy, wispy masquerade ball that we're all kind of dancing in because we have absolutely lost our shit.
I imagine that because part of the thing is that in this movie, people start seeing hallucinations.
Yeah.
I imagine Tor Johnson, like, the hallucination he sees in our version is not his dead daughter, but it's David Bowie as the Goblin King. Why don't you join me, Tor?
Okay.
We can have lots of fun together. No.
No.
And he's just dancing, and he is, like, everyone is dancing, and everyone's kind of like, you know, like, in our heads, it's like, do, 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 do. But, like, when they come in and see it, it's just us shuffling place.
Like, one guy's just spinning in place.
Except for Tor, he is happy. He's dancing with the Goblin King, and he's being lifted off his feet. He's
dancing with a coat rack.
He's twirling around. He's dancing with the toilet.
And I imagine he and the toilet, well, in his head, he and David Bowie are just about to kiss, and it, before a dart goes at his neck. That damn fool nearly kissed the toilet.
9 months later, the toilet has a little bump on the bottom of it. It's pregnant.
Oh, no.
It's pregnant. With Tor Johnson's toilet babies.
Toilet babies.
Toilet babies is a new euphemism I might use.
Toilet babies sounds like the garbage pail equivalent of the Muppet Babies.
Toilet babies, they're buried in the poo. we might actually have to cut that out, or else it'll be a copyright claim. We own toilet babies, thank you very much. Disney is very, very specific.
Look, we're gonna send you a cease and desist on the whole toilet babies fiasco.
Listen, we know you were just kidding, but fall of 2024, toilet babies is going on Disney Plus. Like, we are gonna try to go for the gross out 90s kids demographic.
I don't think Muppet Babies was gross out, was it?
No, but Toilet Babies will be.
The 90s is making a comeback.
It, like Gonzo's nose is a plunger.
Oh.
He has a, and like his nostrils are at the very bottom, like in the rubber part. Oh.
Oh. And Piggy is still a pig. But
the wrong kind of pig.
She's
a hog.
Like, she's one of those, one of those hogs that were, a few years back.
The
that
feral
were,
hog?
Yeah, the feral, okay. That big feral hog problem.
Yeah, the 10 to 20 feral hogs.
Yeah, and she like, has a conniption and, like, rips the drywall out of one side of the room.
And we have Kermit the Wad, of course. He's the toilet baby.
I imagine he is one of those toads you lick.
Oh, okay. He was just a wad of toilet paper in my brain.
Oh, ew.
Green because someone was. Never mind. Let's see. Now my mind's locking up. I can't. I'm thinking of toilet stuff more than I'm thinking of Muppet stuff. It's not Nanny. It's it's just a sewer. It's like it's like Sal.
Hey. You kids I found in the sewers.
Yes, yes, he's their nanny. It's Manny.
Manny.
And you only see his boots, his shit-covered waders.
You see the bottom of his jumpsuit and tool belt.
Hey, what are you fucking kids doing in here?
Hey, you kids, keep it down, you schmucks.
Sorry, Manny. Toilet baby. Fozzie the Bear.
Yeah, he's
a
waka waka.
Oh no! Well, I hope that was I hope that was a chocolate cream pie.
Oh god!
Like Scooter and Skeeter, Pooter and
Skeet.
Yeah.
Oh.
awful show. I'd probably still watch it.
I hope if they did this, Toilet Babies with Manny and this Gonzo that we have, and I would at least watch one episode. It would probably be better than the Velma show.
Oh, well, yeah. But one thing I am worried about is this does sound like something this sounds like a Mad TV skit.
Sounds like a, This sounds like something that if anybody is listening to our podcast, that might pop up on TikTok by some like random person just doing a little joke.
Yeah.
And what are we gonna do? That was our idea for Toilet Babies.
Look, if you would want to buy the Toilet Babies collector's card series, much akin to the garbage pail kids, you write us a comment.
Yeah.
Write what your toilet baby would look like and its name. And it's superpower. Did they have superpower?
No, they use their imagination.
What's
their imagination power?
The garbage pail kids or
the toilet babies?
Gonzo can clear the toughest clogs.
I think Manny's training them to all be,
they're all apprentices?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that Manny has a heart of gold, but, you know, he's not paying them for their labor.
Look, that Manny's got a heart of gold, but this is a union job.
Listen, Manny doesn't really take care of them. It's just they see him whenever he stops by the sewers every day, you know? I gotta go to Substation 1, you know?
Whenever he finds a toy in the sewer, he brings it to them.
Yeah, there you go. It's from the Batman animated series. It's Two-Face. Got a little bit of... You have dirt on it, but it's fine.
Hey, it's half an Egon with an arm missing, but he still makes a scary face if you press him.
If you press him hard enough, it's kind of full of gunk.
Yeah. I'd still run him under the Oh, no.
Yeah, I got it. There's a clog, but I got it.
Yeah, but there's a reason he's making that face now.
All right, kids. Well, we couldn't find, We couldn't really find Silly Putty, but this wet napkin will serve as just as good. Look, I can make a goose out of it.
Well, I found enough pieces of a Ninja Turtle to make one Ninja Turtle. It's kind of a bit all of them, but yeah, use your imaginations.
It's Don Michael Raffaello. Or like, listen, kids, I got you. I think I just like this voice. I think that's why we keep going back to him.
It's a good voice. I like Sal.
Or Manny.
Manny.
Say, kids, I got you a puzzle. All the pieces are from different puzzles, but it's a puzzle, you know. Knock yourself out.
Look, they use one template for all of these puzzles, so it's all the same pieces.
Yeah. You're just going to make something for your imagination, you know. Yeah, go to work.
I also found some crack. You got... I imagine they're just bored and like not really listening to him until he mentions crack.
Yeah, and then it's like, all right. They smoke. Just, I like adventure. I like romance.
That's when they use their imagination.
Yeah, they start seeing the imaginations, but not all the scenes are from like Star Wars or Wizard of Oz. You know, sometimes the human centipede comes into play,
or
Gummo,
or Fear and Loathing.
And someone had given booze to these fucking things. That was around the time the drugs started kicking in.
All right, kids, that's a... Well, not you. This is for you to share. All right, here you go. Just a little bit of sprinkle for you.
Thank you.
A little sprinkle for you.
Thank you.
A little sprinkle for you.
Me.
Oh, no, you helped make it.
Oh, you've had enough.
Yeah.
Mimi.
And there's goddamn lizard people everywhere.
And I'm one of them.
Oh, shit.
He starts looking at his hands. And it just turns out there are just like six people in the sewers who were just fed too much crack by Manny.
Okay. When White Rabbit gets to the peak.
Is that Sam Eagle?
I was trying to be Ralph.
Oh, okay.
But it kind of sounded more like Waldorf.
Because
once it reaches the peak, that awesome peak, throw this radio in and kill me.
Well, I don't know if I could do that.
Do it, you weirdo.
Okay.
White Rabbit! White Rabbit!
What a weirdo.
I gotta get better friends. You know, as your attorney, I recommend that.
So wait, who's it? Is that Statler? Oh, is that Dr. Teeth?
man. It makes
as
a lot more
attorney, sense. I would recommend you do more drugs. Animal! No more for animals.
Animals had enough.
You get him down to sewers, he likes to play with the, we'll just say the cigars.
The last time he didn't come up for a week.
And the women can't find your handsome. They might as well find your handy.
Oh, man.
But on that note, the sleep experiment.
A bit of a drag of a movie. It was very slow. It didn't really go anywhere, and it wasn't nearly as creepy as its source material was. You can go without it.
Okay. I'm gonna say that this was not a good movie at all. It was in fact very not emphatically not good. But the fact that there was at least some interesting moments, like, there's about 30 seconds to a minute of interesting stuff. So I'm going to give this 6 farts, maybe even 7.
Yeah, 6 or 7 sounds about right.
But, all right, that'll do it, everybody. And remember, I want you to leave your comments about Joe Besser and how much he's worth it.
And who's your favorite toilet baby?
Yeah, mention some of these toilet babies so we can start doing, like, putting these playing cards out. We'll definitely do that.
Like, you know, if you guys get this podcast big enough, I'm not opposed to actually making this a thing.
We'll get a cease and really desist from Disney. Like,
if there's a big enough demand for it, like, I go to Fiverr or, you know, hire some artists from DeviantArt and make these cards.
A cease or you're dead kind of thing.
Actually, we Disney. Could, might as well make it a playing card game like Magic.
Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, that'll be for next week.
Yep.
But anyway, I guess that'll do it. Take it easy, everybody.
Toodaloo.
That'll hold a little SOBs.